Europe to get started here. We have a lighter than usual agenda. So we can see how much we can. I'm hoping that we can use a lot of our time to dialogue and discuss and kind of reflect on some things that happened last meeting, because we had a very full agenda last meeting, and for hope potentially not as much time as we could have to speak on all the things that happened. So once everyone sits down in the room, we'll go get them. No pressure. Get started virtually, just so they know where we're at. No pressure.
I do have video and audio.
Yeah.
Recording's going.
I didn't grab it. Okay. Amazing. It is 4:46 p.m. and I'm officially calling the meeting to order. Can we begin roll call?
Yes. It's not in alphabetical order. I'm sorry. Amira Apta? Marcy Benda?
Present.
Ana Fernanda Cardenas?
Here.
Here. David Bateman? Jonathan Butcher? Suzanne Brier? Nicholas Brennan. All right, back to C's. Ishan Chaudhary. Oh, was he excused? Did I see that?
Yeah, he let me know that he's not going to be able to come in or potentially will be late.
Jason Jaberko.
Present.
Hugh DeRosa. Zora Duran is not there. Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Present.
Ellen Gaynor.
Here.
Andrea Hanlon Mott.
Here.
Stephanie Risu. Saw Stephanie. Yeah, did she? You lost her. Christian Tarala,
Here.
Wendy Treat,
Present.
Irene
Present.
Gattini. I see Jonathan's joined us.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm coming, actually.
Okay, awesome. Happy to hear it.
So 11, and I'm sorry, these were not in alphabetical order. So.
Wendy,
I have 11, which
Jessica.
is forum.
I just wanted to make sure Jessica got Victoria. I think she's there in the corner.
Yep, I got her.
All right. Yay! Shout out Victoria. Sorry.
Yeah. Thank you, Wendy.
Oh, and Stephanie's back.
And Stephanie's back.
So you have 12.
Beautiful. All right. So I zoomed up. No worries, Stephanie. We're just glad to have you. Next, we're going to move on to our land acknowledgement. Cornell University, where this meeting is located, is on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayokono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. At this time, I'm going to open the floor to any late additions to the agenda. Going once, going twice, Seeing that there is none, we're going to close this portion of the meeting and move on to the approval of the October 21st meeting minutes. They're on the box for those that are online and in person. And we also have meeting packets for those that are in person. I will entertain any motion to amend or approve. Yes.
I'm not sure if, gosh, there's no line numbers, but 4A2,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the resolution that was passed is bringing back disability accommodations, but either like implementing them or the intention to implement them.
4A2?
Yes. This was about, this was about the obstructed ramps and handicap aisles on campus or
on the second page.
Yes. Yeah. What's six?
What's the six?
What's, oh, sorry, wait, four. What's the
sorry, yes.
The was six A two. My apologies.
Okay, no problem.
So well, now educate.
Okay. 6A2. Pass a resolution that to bring back disability accommodations. So you want to correct that to?
I don't know the correct wording because I didn't write this resolution, but this was a recommendation of implementing improved signage for disability. My point is, it's just not bringing back disability accommodation. It's just, I think it's.
Okay.
I was going to say, since Christian and I are probably the only ones that were involved with that resolution, I think you might, what about saying, passed a resolution recommends enforcing disability accommodations?
Sure. Yeah. Is that more accurate?
Does that help?
Okay. To amend the resolution 6A2 to pass the resolution that recommends enforcing disability accommodations. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Wendy, you have a question?
No, I have motion to amend as well.
Okay, so let's first address this first amendment. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any who oppose? Okay. Seeing that there is none, you can go ahead and acknowledge and have that amendment. Wendy, what is your amendment?
Motion to amend under items or section 6, item C, I1, where it says urges to include more staff in future affairs meetings. It's not affairs, it's just in future committees, campus committees. And I just want to make sure that that language is a little more clear.
Okay. So you want to amend urges to include more staff in future committee?
Campus committees.
Campus committees. Thank you for that. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Do we have any who oppose? Okay, seeing that there's none. Any other amendments for consideration? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
I motion to approve the meeting.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the meeting minutes. We have a second. Second, any opposed? Seeing that there is none, our meeting minutes are approved. Now we can move on to the business of the day. First, we have a discussion about committees. I'd like to just take a moment to discuss committee meetings and their progress. So as of right now, we've been tracking like how frequent committees have been meeting, where they are as far as like resolution or the creation of certain, suggestions that they want to bring to the assembly. I'd like to applaud all chairs for their efforts that they've had thus far. As mentioned in our last meeting, we were entertaining the idea just to support you all committees of breakout sessions. During this time so that committees would have time to meet. We wanted to follow up on that with you all, just so we're all on the same page that we're not going to do that for the following reasons, one of which mainly being that a lot of the members in these committees aren't necessarily UA members, right? So this would be exclusionary to non-UA members. And then for UA members that are virtual, this may unintentionally exclude you all as well. So I just wanted to let you all know that we've decided to change our minds on that, to loop you in for the sake of transparency, but also applaud all the efforts that committees have had thus far. Any questions on that?
Yeah, so just to clarify, that was a discussion in exec to have a section on the agenda for breakouts, but then that will not happen.
Right, this was a follow-up on an exec update, yes. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, seeing that there's none, we can move on to the deadline for the president's address. Once again, the president is coming to speak to UA on December 2nd. We will provide 15 minutes for the president's remarks, followed by 15 minutes for a Q&A. We need to provide the requested topics that we want the president remarks to address by the 11th. So that's next Tuesday. So seeing that that is a up and coming deadline, I just wanted to let you guys all know, remind you all that this is something that we're seeking out feedback on. If you have topics that you want the president to speak on for the UA, email me or Andrea. Yeah, just email me or Andrea so that we are in the know and we can bring that to him. Alongside that, we're also collecting questions for the Q&A period, right? So we want this to you guys to be involved with both of the 15 durations, right? The remarks and the Q&A. And so we're collecting questions through a Qualtrics form, wonderfully made by our Office of Assemblies. So this form will be sent out later today, and it's scheduled to close at 4 p.m. on November 18th. This is 2 weeks from today. So just to kind of bottom line up front, a week from today, we have the topics for the presidential remarks. If there is none, it will be up to the exec committee just to let him know what we think he ought to bring to the UA. And then 2 weeks from today, we are closing the form for questions that you may have during the Q&A period. Any questions regarding this? Yes, Wendy?
Thanks, Irene. This isn't a question, but just a comment or a thought. When the president comes to our assembly meetings, this is dedicated time that we have his attention. So I stress this with the employee assembly members, and I stress it with all of you as well. It is super important that if we have thoughts, comments, feedback that we want to provide, like, he's giving us time to actually pick his brain or give him, you know, feedback or comments and topics. So I would strongly urge that we utilize it to the best that we can.
Thank you for that, Wendy. I entirely agree. Yes, Jonathan?
I mean, to add on that, like, the more that he's talking, the more that we learn about it. So, like, I feel like sometimes if we want to just yell or complain, the clock runs out. And so I don't know if that will, we should think about that strategically in terms of the questions that we ask. If there's a 35-minute preamble for a question that's actually rhetorical, you know, I don't know if that's going to be good use of our time.
Right, use of questions. That's why we're hoping to collect questions beforehand, just so that we can, sometimes we don't want to be redundant during our time here, right? 15 minutes is not a lot of time, right? In either way, right? Whether it be the remarks that he's making or the Q&A period. And so we want to, you know, optimize our time there. And so submitting questions that you have beforehand will allow us to convey it to him in a clear and concise way to that point. So I appreciate that, Jonathan and Wendy. Any other questions regarding this? Yes.
So the Qualtrics form for the Q&A is the only way questions will get asked, or only once that is completely gone through will the floor open for questions?
I think we're going to prioritize the pre-submitted questions first, and then with whatever time remains, we'll allow for questions for everyone else. But these are like UA, right? UA member questions. So I really highly recommend that you submit questions in advance so that we can have that, because we're planning on providing that as well. So in case he needs preparation for, you know, we don't want to ask a question that he doesn't have an answer to. It's kind of awful. Any other questions? All right. Seeing that there's none, we're going to move on to the institutional voice speakers request. So we had Jens and Jens and Avery come speak to us in our last meeting. I wanted to reiterate that the task force is looking for comments on the draft institutional voice recommendations by November 14th, either by email or through an anonymous link. I wanted to take this time just because we kind of sped through the rest of our agenda last time. If there was any reflections or questions regarding that. None. Yes, Nick.
Thank you, John. I guess reflection on Jens's presentation. Being a member of an assembly, think a lot about the role of the assembly that is played on campus, and specifically how assemblies participate in and shape university voice. But I'm really not seeing that in the recommendations laid out by this committee. I was a little struck by how limited university voice is perceived as either coming from a provost or just the president, although those are important voices, of course. But I am looking and hoping to see in my own comments to this committee more thought on how the assemblies are engaged and how their voice is perceived and kind of vocalized at the university level and externally as well. When the university assembly, for example, votes to do something, what does that say about Cornell?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would personally be very interested to get some sort of idea of the data that's actually being ingested by the committee through this feedback process. Mm-hmm. For example, if there's very strong feedback received from a very small portion of the university, and then that shapes what they do, that mm-hmm. means that there's a whole bunch of voices that are either actively not participating or otherwise not engaged. And conversely, if there's a strong group of people or strong voice that says do X and they do Y, like, I don't, they're maybe not obligated to reveal that information, but like as a historical part of the UA, like we were privy to be able to get some of this kind of information for our own ability to sort of like, you know, it's kind of a check and balance is why people make decisions they do. I mean, I don't, this stopped before I showed up, so I don't know if we lost the opportunity of being adults, but regardless, like, is that something that we could ask them to do themselves, you know, in terms of like a way of debriefing or just being connected with the data they're getting? I don't know.
Good point.
To follow up on that, Jonathan, so I'm understanding, you're asking for more, like, what was their internal deliberation looking like as opposed to what was the contents of the external facing report or recommendation?
I'm actually less interested about their internal deliberations as much as the aggregation and analysis of the comments from mm-hmm. our community. Because if those are congruous, that makes sense. But if the voice was from a very small component of the university, now our institutional voice is based off of a small cohort. If we got a broad basis, that would actually strengthen the power of the resolution because it actually integrated all voices. Does that make sense?
Anyone else in person or online want to provide their questions or reflections? As well. Okay, seeing that there is none, we can now move on to our assembly reports. Student assembly, how did your October, 23rd and 30th meeting go?
Well, when we built the agendas, it was, a lot has been happening.
We have been approving some special projects funding requests for some clubs as well. We also have a resolution making its way through about making it's called Making Meal Plans Equitable for South Campus Program Houses. I think it's like regards to some program houses that are like geographically and similar in location but aren't don't have access to certain meal plans or the residents don't. Of course we have so a lot of stuff going on with our finance committee recommendations. I'm on the finance committee, so I'm very aware of that. In fact, this meeting that we have coming this Thursday, I believe we have 10 of these on the docket to go through. Last meeting we got through one. So it will be a very long or arduous process as we deal with some issues with obtaining information or it's generally the student assembly is quite adverse to decreasing funding for any anywhere. So that does hold things up. But yeah, besides that, I don't think, oh, also, yeah, we didn't move around some money. So the student assembly hopefully soon should have some more funding at its disposal for, just like general usage for community benefit. I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, mostly finance committee stuff and updating the student activities fee.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any questions for student assembly?
If I may inquire, you said there's 10 resolutions.
10 recommendations, I believe, from the student assembly that we haven't gone through. At last meeting, we had a lot to go through. A couple of them were being petitioned against. So if we have a recommendation and the group doesn't agree with it, like we didn't increase it as much as they wanted or decrease it, for instance, they have the opportunity to petition, and that can take quite some time, and there tends to be a lot of discussion involved. So yeah, because of that, we had a backlog of things we didn't get through to last time, plus all the ones that we went through this week that are being added to that. Yeah, so like I think it's 10, I don't know, different organizations that we are having to approve the finance committee recommendation. This isn't actually the official like the final recommendation. At the end of the process, we do look at the whole like all the numbers as a whole and readjust them, which may be its own thing. But currently, yeah, we're going through like the each org on an individual basis.
Are you thinking of increasing the student activity fee?
Ideally, we're trying to minimize the increase that does almost inevitably seem will be the case. We are under the impression that a large increase may not be approved by the university because of the way financial aid works, and the school is also paying for a lot of that the increase. So we're doing our best to keep it down. That sometimes means decreasing funding for certain groups that we feel perhaps are misusing or don't need as much money as other groups, for example. But that does tend to rub people the wrong way. And I will say it has just seemed to, by coincidence, send a like the wrong message about which groups are being decreased in funding and which are not, and it's not the case, but we have had some issues with that so far. Yeah.
Any other questions for student assembly? Seeing that there is none, let's move on to
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I just remembered. Sorry, Zora did mention that we have a referendum vote over the next couple of weeks about Resolution 10, I believe, about the student code of conduct. That's also important. resolution 10 pass? It did.
Is it the same format that it was? Like, I remember you had a couple readings. I don't know.
I believe amendments were proposed and rejected. So I think it was the same as what's going on.
Resolution 10 question mark. I
hear you.
Context.
Yeah.
Shout out the assembly website for the record.
Yeah.
Once again.
Okay. Anything else? If not, any questions based off that? And if not, graduate professional student assembly, how did your meeting go?
We had a very nice meeting. We likewise welcome Jens to speak on the task force for institutional voice. And we also had a presentation for one of our own organizations up for Byline funding this year. GPSA is very much in the midst of setting our student activity fee, which we plan to do by the end of the semester with public hearings for each of our Byline funded organizations throughout November 14th. Until November 14th is the last date. So that is ongoing. On October 27th at our meeting, we passed $40,000 from our reserve to our operating budget to fund Annabelle's Grocery Subsidy Fund over the next 2 years. This is in response to a transitional period for Annabelle's Grocery as they kind of reimagine their relationship to the universe. And beyond that, we look forward to another productive meeting on November 10th, where we will hopefully be discussing changes to funding of the libraries, and are also thinking very much about graduate student recommendations to the code of conduct and procedures. Thanks.
Any questions for graduate professional student assembly?
I did see at last meeting you said you guys were considering giving Annabelle's money. I saw that you guys approved $40,000 for the next 2 years. Is that from the student activities or the GP, whatever that activities fee?
Yes, it's from the graduate professional student assembly allocation. So it's from the GPSA reserve, but it's not from money that was earmarked for clubs.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions for GPSA? Seeing that there is none. Next, we have employee assembly. I know your meeting is tomorrow, but do you have any updates from the last time?
I do, actually. So as mentioned during our last meeting, we called a special meeting on Thursday, October 23rd, and invited Gordon Barger, who's the Senior Director of Benefit Strategy and Initiatives, to provide information on health insurance increases, unfortunately. So that was very helpful to staff that attended to see kind of like what their costs might be going up. The endowed side of the university is currently in open enrollment right now. It started on October 27th and it goes until, I believe, mid-November. Staff that are on the contract college side of things, still we do not have any information about anything because we're waiting to hear back from New York State on benefit rates and that sort of thing. As you said, yes, our meeting is tomorrow. We're welcoming Kathy Berkren, who's an Associate Vice President in Organizational Development and Effectiveness, to talk about professional development opportunities and growth. It seems like everyone's making the rounds. On December 3rd, President Kotlikoff and VP and Chief Human Resources Officer Christine Lovely will be visiting the employee assembly. Same kind of set, 15 minutes for comments, 15 minutes for committee reports, and then 15 minutes for Q&A. The employee assembly members have the deadline of submitting their questions by the 13th of November so that we can get the information to the office of the president. And then last but not least, we do have a location now for the president's address to staff. It will be on Thursday, January 8th from 12 to 1 in G10 Biotech. That is all.
Thank you for that. Any questions for EA?
Will there also be a Zoom link, Wendy?
For president's address to staff, you betcha.
Any other questions? Seeing that there is none, Faculty Senate, do you have any updates?
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm sorry I'm on the road. So for Faculty Senate, we are going to have the future of the American University come to the Senate, and also part of the Institutional Voice Tour. And we're three colleges going to review the teaching professor proposals. And that's all we have going on right now.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Faculty Senate? Seeing that there is none, we can move on to our committee reports. First, we have the Executive Committee. Andrea?
Yes, as we talked about earlier, we've spent a lot of time, poor Isha, and we're doing 8 o'clock meetings, and they're painful, but trying to find a time with four busy people and busy schedules has been complicated. But we did spend a lot of time and got feedback from the Office of the Assemblies about how complicated and difficult it is to have committee meetings in the midst of UA timeframe. So I think, as Irene had indicated, it's really important that we just spend the time that we can to get everything scheduled, to keep those committees dynamic, as well as there are people who are from the community who participate in committees but don't come to UA meetings. So we're missing that piece as well. In terms of commitment and time and participation. So I just think that it's important to do that and make sure that we're getting those meetings scheduled. We've spent a lot of time talking about speakers and reiterating the deadline for the comments for the president's address. That's really important to give some context to some of the questions that we have in the event that there's crossover, certain things that people want to make sure that are highlighted there. And then finally, we also want to appeal. We're trying to finalize, because we have two more meetings before the end of this semester. And so we've got the presidents coming, and then, as we'd indicated, the Institutional Voice speaker request. They want to come on the same day as the president, which we know from last meeting that's a little complicated. So we're trying to appeal to them to either come in our next November meeting or have them come after in the January timeframe. But please, we appeal to everybody. If you have ideas for speakers or other topics that we can talk about as part of the speaker component, please let us know. I think that that's usually a very dynamic aspect of it. Wendy?
I just have a quick question or clarification. You just said the December 2nd meeting, President Kolakoff is coming, and then you said Institutional Voice. They came to our last UA meeting. Do you mean the Future of the American University
Committee
wants to come on the 2nd?
Yes. Okay. I misspoke.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Any questions or anything I missed from our exec committee? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Next, we have the Campus Codes Committee. John?
We have our next meeting next week. There's several, initiatives that we are kind of working on that hopefully in parallel will develop resolutions towards the basically trying to rekindle some form of shared governance. And even in the absence of that, I think it's
one of our thoughts is that our ability to regulate ourselves is something that we can take advantage of if we want to, towards that goal. And so that's essentially like the kind of the back and forth that's going on in the committee right now.
Could you elaborate further when you say really kind of utilizing our ability to?
Yeah, so for example, 2021 or whatever it was, the university board of trustees passed resolution putting the code of conduct and its regulation inside of the university central administration via the vice president, you know, for campus life, whatever. So that was a major component of shared governance, meaning if we as a campus community regulate our conduct and the university is, for example, doing finances or whatever, then we're all participating in that process. Well, if none of it is underneath an organization that is, you know, essentially uncontrolled by the central administration, then the governance element is kind of separated. The advice or input is certainly still shared, but like I was just saying, when I send an email to somebody, it only counts as an individual. If the UA sends an email to the committee, even if it's a resolution, I mean, I shouldn't say it's a resolution, but the UA sends an email to the committee, that's another email that still counts as an individual. We do have the power to ask the president or provost or whoever to come here and explain themselves to whatever degree of eloquency they want. But ultimately, all we can do is ask some questions and tell people how to feel about it.
I think that's David Bader.
Oh. So the complimentary thought is that if this assembly is actually tasked originally or created, you know, back in 60, whatever, to actually govern how we conduct ourselves, it is entirely possible that we could create a framework of how we interact that needs no particular, you know, central administration overminding. Now, of course, we don't have resources like central administration for all sorts of, you know, hearing panels and whatever, but that doesn't mean that we don't construct a framework that says this is actually the community we want to be and operate under. And I feel like a lot of, maybe I'm speaking for myself and not the committee per se, but I feel like a lot of the disconnect and conflict with, say, campus codes and whatever, is that a lot of it is in a negative sense, like what to do when people do something wrong, whatever. But the actual, like, who we actually want to be in a positive sense, how do we want to interact with each other? Like, it's sort of wide open space that would then help us to be able to say, hey, look, this is actually how we want to engage, not like this. And so instead of just having all sorts of punishments for various infractions, there's a positive element that we can model and embody. And so that's a one of the combinations of the, you know, kind of the resolutions we're thinking about. But it's an opportunity for this organization to say, if this is the community we want to be, we can define it. We don't need the central administration to say this is who we want to be. But it involves obviously actual work. And so here we are meeting again and hopefully going to do some work. We'll see.
Any questions for Campus Codes Committee? Awesome. Next, we have Campus Welfare Committee. Jason.
Hello, hello. We had, I'd say, an incredibly productive meeting yesterday. The minutes are already uploaded, so fortunately, if people are interested in what went down, they can see it. In terms of things that were discussed, I'm planning basically the framework on how the committee will operate, how we will gather our collective efforts to improve the well-being of people all across Cornell. It seems that I have a lot of emails to send, basically to various assemblies as welfare committee equivalent. And so if any of you are familiar with them or otherwise want to put in a good word and be like, some guy in orange is going to contact you, that would be helpful. Other than that, one of the things that some of the committee members brought up, which was actually a really interesting point I wanted to get feedback on here, was Cornell-wide initiatives that have been happening in the past. One of the ones that was discussed was, I believe, in 2005, they brought out step counters to people and just said, hey, if you want to track your steps and build communities around building that number up, something to bring people together over a shared interest or a shared community is something that we're interested in following up on. And that may or may not involve contacting many Cornellians, at least in central administration. But that is something we will discuss. A meeting will be determined sometime in early December. Poll will be sent and it will be uploaded on the website.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Any questions for Campus Welfare Committee? Okay, next we have the Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment. I see that Amira is online, but I also have a written piece in case you're in a position where you can't speak right now. Okay. So she wrote saying that essentially site is waiting on President Kultikov's response to an accessible infrastructure resolution that got passed at the student assembly meeting, and they're considering bringing it to the UA. So they're working on it as a committee. So that is the update on what site's doing. Next, we have our liaison reports. We have the campus planning committee. Wendy, yes?
I actually wanted to go back really quick to site and that resolution for the accessibility. I did actually, maybe I wasn't supposed to see it, but I saw in box the draft of the resolution. I just want to make sure that when we bring it, if it does come to the UA, that the language has changed so it's campus community, because the one that was passed for student assembly just directly addresses students, not the campus community as a whole.
Thank you for that.
Yep.
And I would like, I'm going to, I'm sorry, hand is raised.
No, yeah, go ahead. No problem.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to reach out to Amira and have a discussion. I've talked to a couple of people about language and some of the language of the proposed resolution, just being something that is in line with our core values of how we refer to people. But because some of the other resolutions really use language that was a bit derogatory towards people with disabilities. So it's not intended, it's just an unknown thing, but it's great education. It'd be great to model the right language.
Thank you for that, Andrea. Yeah, it looks like Amira is very amenable and open to feedback. So looking forward to hearing what comes of that. So back to what we're talking about as far as liaison reports, the Campus Planning Committee. Wendy, do you have any updates regarding that?
Nope. Our first meeting is actually this Friday. Woo, in person. So we'll have something at our next meeting.
That sounds like a wonderful update for me. So looking forward to hear what comes with that. Next, we have the Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention. Ellen, any updates regarding that?
Yes, they did have their meeting. I think, as I mentioned previously, I was not able to be there because it conflicted with one of my classes. However, I want to call everybody's attention to the document that was just released at 2 o'clock today from Vice President Ryan Lombardi, Vice President Christine Lovely, and Brittany Blakeney, who's the Executive Director of the Office of Civil Rights and Investigations for Wild Cornell. And this is a document that summarizes the survey that we're required to conduct annually on sexual assault and related misconduct. And it is, I think, a very succinct but still very informative set of survey results for the current cycle. The results seem to indicate that things really have not improved, and that's obviously troubling. I think I'm just going to read sort of the takeaway from this directly from this letter. The findings highlight the need for continued strategic public health prevention efforts, and it talks a little bit about the efforts that Cornell indeed has undertaken and will continue to do. And I also want to call folks' attention to the Presidential Task Force on Campus Sexual Assault, and that group is charged with developing a holistic framework for education, prevention, and response to sexual assault. And they're expecting recommendations later this academic year. So if those are available for next semester's UA meetings, obviously I'll be happy to share that information.
Thank you for that. Any questions? No? Okay, seeing that there's none, we can move on to the Sustainable Cornell Council Education and Engagement Steering Committee. Victoria, have you received any updates from them?
I went through my whole email just to be safe too, but I haven't got any communications yet.
Okay, well, that's all right, no problem. As far as the Sustainable Cornell Council Campus Operations Steering Committee, Ishan told me that there's no updates regarding that. Next, we can move on to our open forum. Is there anything that anyone?
I had a question. So you skipped over the carbon neutral campus steering committee, or
still vacant?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, still vacant.
Sorry about that.
No, you're perfectly fine. There's it. We have no one. Still. But if you know, since you mentioned it, were you wondering if we can open the floor for any nominations for that position?
Anyone?
Yeah. Anybody interested in the Sustainable Cornell Council's Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee?
Question.
Oh, we have, okay. Yes, what is your question?
Do we know where they are and if they're meeting? And what my group still hasn't been meeting, and so I
could do both.
I could do both, but do we know they're in the similar position?
Yeah, essentially what happens is when we have a liaison, or like I guess Jessica and Eric, we get you in touch with their point of contact, and we let them know that you're our UA liaison, and then they're meant to reach out to you and let you know when they're having meetings and whatnot.
Okay.
But Jessica, you can add to that.
I was just gonna say that's exactly right. My office reports who the liaisons are for all the assembly liaisons that are external. We notify them. The vice chair of operations is CC'd. So he's CC'd. Ishan's been CC'd on all these. So they've been notified. They've responded to us. I don't know how often they meet. I can double check. I can double check with them and see what's going on.
So
now I'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. We have a nomination.
Yeah, I'd like to motion to open the floor for nominations for.
Awesome. Do we have a second?
Yeah. For the Cornell Council's Carbon Neutral Campus Steering.
Wonderful. Seeing that the floor is now open for nominations, do we have a nominee? Yes.
I'd like to nominate Victoria Bell for this role.
Oh, do you accept this nomination?
Accept.
Okay, do we have any other nominations?
I make a motion to close
yes.
the floor.
Yes.
Seconded that motion.
Second, okay. Wonderful. Seeing that now
it was even made.
Let's give a hand of applause to Victoria. Wonderful. We now have every position filled. This is great. This is great. This is great. Hopefully we'll be hearing from we have to see what's going on with that. Back to the previous motion. We've now moved on to open forum. Do we have anything regarding open forum that people would like to bring to the floor? Wendy.
At 9:01 a.m. this morning, Cornell staff received the best email ever. It had a subject line of winter break extended to include Friday, January 2nd, 2026. So normally we have it's paid holidays between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, but given that Friday, the January 2nd is a Friday, the university does tend to historically, you know, if Christmas Eve falls on a Monday or January 2nd falls on a Friday, they just add an extra day, and yay, they did. So just so that all of you are aware, eligible employees, which is all regular full and part-time benefits, eligible staff members, and benefits eligible temporary employees. We get 7 paid days instead of 6 this year.
Wonderful. Great. Thank you, Wendy. Amazing times. Any other fun, exciting things? I love hearing fun, exciting things. Things to be joyous about. No, not nothing more. Anything that anyone else wants to bring to open forum, regardless of the nature of it, positive or negative. Okay. Neutral even.
My lab had a Labsgiving yesterday. That was fun.
Labsgiving. Okay. That wonderful.
Let's train her. Labsgiving.
Labsgiving. That was my first time hearing of that. Okay. We can move on from open forum if someone wants to motion for. Motion to perhaps.
A motion to adjourn.
Okay, do we have a second? Yes. Do we have anyone who opposes? Seeing that there's none, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all.
All right.
Awesome. I hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful weekend.